open up to a chapter we've never been in, Romans 8. Put a marker in Galatians 5. The early service today was ministered by the Holy Ghost. Now, he happened to be speaking through Doug Zanstra. Wednesday night, also, half the service was God speaking, just using his tongue. It was fabulous. And if you missed either one of those, I highly recommend that you get them, listen to them. We have the prophecies that came forth Wednesday night that Doug was using again this morning. Now, I'm not going to try, and it's not the Lord's in plan for me to try and reteach what Doug taught, but I'm going to try and give chapter 2. Just pick up there, and I'd give just enough review to where you can pick up the thread of what the Holy Ghost was saying. Now, let me read you the first couple of lines from this prophecy that came Wednesday night through Doug. And it says, "The anointing that destroys the yoke is on the inside of you. And as you fellowship with me, I release that anointing and I destroy the yokes," plural, "that have held you back." Around here, we normally refer to those yokes as strongholds. They're not in your spirit. They're in the flesh, and the flesh is not only the appetites and lusts of the physical body, but it includes the unrenewed portions of the soul. You are not the same person that you were before you got born again. The spirit that's on the inside of you has truly been born of God. It is born, Ephesians tells us in chapter 4, it is from the instant you're born again, created in righteousness and true holiness. But see, your flesh is not, neither is mine. And my soul doesn't get born again. My soul has the capacity to be renewed. It's renewed by the Word of God through the understanding that comes by the Holy Ghost. My flesh is very much like an unruly child or a wild stallion. It will not submit. It can be broken to a certain extent, but until you receive a new body from the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a war that's going to be going on between that new man on the inside of you and the flesh part that we have still inherited from Adam. Now, the devil, one of his main strategies when that war is going on, is to get you thinking, to get you to identify with your flesh more than you identify with the new man that's on the inside of you. If I did not have God's word, and I'm telling on myself, he's always mean to me and nice to you. I'll be honest with you. If I did not really have God's word, and I went in and say also the Holy Spirit to teach me the true understanding of God's word. If I didn't have God's word, it'd be real easy to convince me that I'm not saved because of things that I tend to gravitate to when I'm not doing my part in the war to keep my flesh under. If I did not have God's word, I would not have faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. After all these years, Gary, how do you know you're saved? Because God's word says I am. Well, do you feel saved? Some days. Some days, just parts of some days. Some days, I don't really feel saved at all, you know. If I was to live like that, my life would be I don't know how you would not become bipolar or schizophrenic or something. I don't know how you would not. If a person that lives by their emotions and their feelings, feelings are a bonus. I love feelings. Man, that my little granddaughter, my little Lily Cakes, who's going to be 6 this month now, she gets in my lap and that little blue-eyed, blonde-haired girl pats me on the cheek and say, "Can I have a third ice cream cone?" We're already walking to the freezer. You know? going to get her another. Man, are you kidding? I love the feelings. You know, she'll come up. Here, I'm trying to lose weight. You know, I've been working on it pretty hard. And she'll come up to me and say, Papa, you're not fat. And I said, what, do you want a pony? But see, I love her even if I didn't have those feelings. The feelings are wonderful. They're a bonus. But I'm not ruled by them. Now, this message that came forward Wednesday night and really was a continuation this morning through Doug. I want to read that sentence again. See, you got to understand there is an anointing on the inside of you that destroys every yoke. Everyone says at first it's the Holy Spirit. Well, He helps. He also helps us against our flesh. But the primary anointing that abides on the inside of you, first and foremost, is the new nature. It's the new you. It's the creation of God, your Father, that He put on the inside of you. And we're going to see that real clear from Scripture now. So here He says, the anointing that destroys the yoke is on the inside of you. And as you fellowship with Me, I release that anointing. And I destroy the yokes that have held you back. Now in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Those of you that's been down the born again trail, you already know this. All through this chapter, most of the time when the word Spirit appears in the King James Bible. How many of you know we love the King James Bible here? That's what I'm using. It's what I've got. Most of the time in chapter 8, when they have a capital S there, the translators, I guess you would say, of the Greek language into the King James, they thought it was the Holy Spirit. So whenever they thought that, they would put a capital S. But when Dave took us down the Born Again Trail, and line upon line, precept upon precept, every verse in here, we saw that the Holy Spirit really is not mentioned for the first time until verse 16 of chapter 8. So let's look at it first. You can tell real easily here that it's talking about the Holy Spirit because it says the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. And you see they got it right that time. See that little S? The Spirit itself, capital S, that's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost bears witness with our spirit. That's the reborn you right there, that little S spirit, that's you. That we are the children of God. What makes you a child of God? Joining a church? Becoming a better person? No, you must be born again. You become a child of God by being birthed into the family. Real Christianity is not a religion. I'll say it again and again until I die. Real Christianity is a family. That's why you can't join it. You can't be good enough to become a part of it. You have to be born into it. You must be born again. Well, verse 1 of chapter 8, let's do 1 and 2, says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now notice, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That should be a little S. That's a little S. How do you know that for sure? Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Where did you get the life that's on the inside of you? Where did you get it? You got it from your Adam. Corinthians says the second man, the last Adam, Jesus Christ. When you got born again, life from your Adam, Jesus Christ, came from Him into you. That's the new nature. That's how you got born again. He said, the Father in me and I in them. That life that was in the Father that then was appeared in the Lord Jesus Christ, it has also now appeared in you when you got born again. His life was the light of men. You have been lighted. Lighted and lifed. And it's that life. Now notice, For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death, what is that? Well, that's chapter 7. That's the man who saw God's law. With his mind, he agreed that God's law was good. With his mind, he wanted to keep it. But you've got to understand, he says in there at one place, he says, God, if it had not been for your law, I would not have even known coveting was wrong. Except your law said, don't covet. And boy, there's a world of revelation right there, see. Before you got born again, you had the spirit of the world in you. You had a nature, a fallen nature passed down from Adam, generation to generation to generation. And with your mind, you might find the law and say, God's law, I want to keep it. And your mind sets out to keep it. But see, with that, as long as you have that sin nature on the inside, you're trying to keep God's law with human effort. And human effort is not enough to overcome the flesh. God proved that with the Jewish nation for all of that time. They were under the law. I said, well, if you think you can, here's my law. Keep it. And that's the dilemma of the man in Romans 7. You can read it. He says, well, I'd make up my mind. The thing I was never going to do again, I'm never doing that because it's against God's law. I'm never going to do it. Well, like Dave says, you know, the guy goes to the office, comes home that evening, kisses his wife. She says, how did it go today, honey? He says, we better offer up another sheep. Try and keep the law. Try as hard as you can. Nobody could keep it. With human effort, you're never going to overcome your flesh. Now, you can do some discipline. All kinds of sports people, you know, if you're in sports, man, they can tell you all kinds of stuff about disciplining the flesh. Yeah? But see, we're not called to discipline the flesh. We're called to mortify the flesh. Come right on down. Come right on down to verse 13. And then, if you want to know all those verses in between, I recommend to you The Born Again Trail by this up-and-coming young evangelist named Dave Roberson. Because he goes through every verse, line by line, word by word, till you get it all. But see, really, when you come down to verse 13, he says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, now in the King James, there it is again, a capital S. No, that's not what he has been talking about. He has been talking about the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. That's the new nature. It's that new nature on the inside of you. That's what gives you power from God to put your foot on the neck of the flesh and keep it there. But it does not mean there's not a war every day. We're going to look at that here in a few minutes. But if you live after the flesh, you shall die. For if you through the Spirit, through the new nature, that should be a little S. It's through the new nature you mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now, what does mortify mean? Again, I can't improve on Pastor Dave. If you spend a night in a mortuary, being handled by a mortician, by the next morning, your body will be mortified. And you will not sin anymore. Your body has been mortified, put to death, incapable. God has given us that spiritual position of death. We could back up in chapter 8. And it plainly says there, the body, because of sin, the body is dead, but the spirit is life. Not alive, life. It is life. You have a life generator on the inside of you. Man, I'd like to preach right there, but we can't right now. And look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. And see, it's capital S. No. That's not the subject. I believe in being led by the Holy Ghost. That's a whole other subject. But that's not what he's talking about here. If you're going to keep it in context, he's talking about how do you go through life and keeping your flesh from dominating you? You do it by the new nature. That is that anointing he's talking about right here in that prophecy. There is an anointing that destroys the yoke, and it is on the inside of you. And as you fellowship with me, I release that anointing. And I destroy the yokes that have held you back. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, let's for context sake, let's say it this way. For as many as are led by the new nature, they are the sons of God. When you learn how to walk by the new nature, let's say it a different way. When you get to walk by who you really are, now you become a son of God, not just positionally, but you're walking it out now. You're starting to find out a little bit about who you are, who your father is. Now you're a candidate to learn more about your inheritance. Learn more about your true calling, what he really called you to do. Which I loved how he led Doug that time. And everyone was telling Doug, you don't have to put up with that boss. You don't have to put up with him. And he says, well, yeah, I do. Well, why do you? Because God told me to work here. He said, this isn't about my boss. It's about me learning. God, that was good. I recommend that service to you. Now, I just want you to know, we're going to jump to Galatians now, but I want you to see how the thought, look at verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, I'm going to say it again, for as many as are led by the little s, Spirit of God, for as many as are led by the new nature, for as many as are led by your born-again spirit, they are the sons of God. Go over to Galatians now for just a moment. So the goal there is to learn how to be led by the Spirit of God. Isn't that correct? All right? That Spirit of God, the new nature on the inside of you. All right, now look at this. Look at Galatians 5, verse 16. For this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and again, here's capital S. No, that should be a little s. Walk in the Spirit. Walk after that new nature. This is the same thought as he had over there in Romans 8. You learn how to walk by that new man on the inside of you, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, why not? You'll mortify it. You'll mortify it. That's how you do it. And it's not by going back to the law. I mean, this is the very book. If there's Galatians itself, we could back up here anywhere, but just in chapter 5, look, we'll just pick it up here in chapter 5, verse 1, just for a moment. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. But then you're facing a war with this flesh. You have been circumcised, but your flesh is not changed. And there's a war going on. Go back to verse 16 now. And then we're going to look at the war. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Romans 8 says, be led by the Spirit. And again, it's talking about the new nature. Learn how to walk by your nature. Learn how to walk by that Spirit man on the inside. And if you do that, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But that does not mean there's not a war. Now notice the next verse. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. And that should be a little less. Trust me, if your puny flesh ever decides to start a war with God the Holy Ghost, that will be the shortest war ever on record. It is not talking about your flesh warring against the Holy Ghost. It is talking about your flesh warring against that new man on the inside. And the devil, he keeps trying to think, get you to believe that you are that flesh guy. That's where condemnation comes from. Which really there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Now, if you go with current teaching that's out there that we commonly call the radical grace message, they're trying to get you to abdicate the war. and tell you that there is no war and you can just live any way you want to and you're still okay. I don't know what Bible they're reading, but it's not this one. Okay? Or they're only reading the parts that fit their doctrine. But anyway, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, little s, and the spirit against the flesh. Have y'all ever found out there's still struggles? I'm not the only one, am I? There is a war going on. There's a new righteous, holy Son of God on the inside of you that's got his sword drawn out fighting against a monster. That monster is the flesh, but that monster is not you. What's funny? This is the third time he's brought this up. Now, it's not really funny. It's a paradox. It's a conundrum. It's a dichotomy. I am educated. I just don't act like it. I became all things to all men that I might win some thereby. Here he talks about the anointing that destroys the yoke is on the inside of you. And as you fellowship with me, I release that anointing. And I destroy the yokes that have held you back. Here's the dichotomy. The more you fellowship with him, what's one way? Have y'all learned at this church there might be one way that you could fellowship with him? Praying in tongues, the educated man with a scholarly degree says here in the second row. Hallelujah. Praying in tongues. But have you noticed? You come, you hear this message, you read Pastor Dave's book, you get all excited, and you come and you pray in tongues, and after about 2 months of systematically, I'm just putting that number out there, it could be 1 month, could be a week, okay? After you do it for a while, you know what normally happens? You know what that anointing does? Ugly stuff that's been in your flesh that you have managed through long practice and experience to keep withheld so nobody knows you have that ugly stuff. That ugly stuff starts coming to the surface. And maybe temper tantrums, maybe greed, maybe pride, maybe... I mean, I don't know how many people I've counseled over the years. They come here, they begin to do this message, and after about 3 months, they go, you know, I think I was a better person before I started praying. No, you're the same person then that you are now. What he's doing, he is releasing that anointing. That ugly stuff has been in there the whole time. But that anointing of his now on the inside is bringing that to the surface where even you can see it. And the good news is you don't have to stay the way you are. Once you see it, and sometimes, I'll just tell you this, don't ask me how I know this. Sometimes when it first comes to the surface, you may not hate it as bad as he does. But if you keep praying, you will. Eventually, you'll only have two choices. You're either going to have to deal with that. I'm not preaching at you for any particular reason. You'll have to deal with that ugly thing. Or you're going to have to stop praying. Because that anointing will not leave you alone. God loves us absolutely and completely and unconditionally. But he also loves us too much to leave us like we are. Glory to God for that. I'll tell you the same thing about fasting. I haven't done the long 40-day fast. I'll just admit it, I haven't. I've done series fasting off and on for years. And I've done some, what some people would call longer, I call longer. I've done a few days at a time, okay? I'm not going to... Leave me alone. Anyway. I'm not asking about how much you fast, okay? But I've done enough of it to find this out. Did you know the most dangerous time for you is right after a fast? Do you know what the biggest danger is? Pride. Pride. Which of you have fasted that long? Look at me now. You know? And you don't really go around with it on your chest because you know you can't get away with it. Like a big sign, I fasted 7 days. But you'd like to. And I'll tell you this too. Fasting also will bring things to the surface This anointing, part of how it works, God is light. When you allow him by his spirit to start digging around in your soul, now, again, none of those strongholds are in your spirit. Ephesians plainly tells you that that new man on the inside of you was created in the image of him in righteousness and true holiness. See, the Holy Spirit also helps us. I should have gone to that. Can you stay in Galatians and go back to Romans 8 for just a minute? Because I didn't quite finish the thought there. See, the first measure of mortifying the flesh is that new nature. You're not doing it by the law. Galatians is for sure telling them, for God's sake, don't go back to the law. Try and put your flesh under. That didn't work. Israel proved for generations that that will not work. He's not calling you to go and try and do it like that with man's effort. No, the key is to nurture the new nature. That's the anointing that he put on the inside of you. And as it grows up, you get to where you hate sin as much as he hates sin. And anything that's darkness, that light will expose it. Now, that's where the Holy Spirit also, so back in Romans 8, again, verse 13, let's get our foundation here. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, through the new nature, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And it's by that process, verse 14, through that process, more and more you're led by the new nature. And more you're walking as a son of God. But see, look at verse 26. Likewise, in other words, in the same way that that new nature helps mortify the deeds of the body, likewise, the Spirit, and that's one should be a capital S. Now he's talking about the Holy Ghost. That little S spirit is the first line of overcoming that he put on the inside of you. But then how many of you know he gave us a helper? I've got a helper. I'm not abandoned. I'm not an orphan on this earth. I have a helper. His name is the Holy Ghost. And likewise, in the same way, the Spirit also helps against our infirmities. What's the infirmities? Well, that's everything. That's those weaknesses of the flesh. That's the strongholds in the mind. Our sister was talking about inferiorities and things that prevented her from being able to do what God had called her to do. Well, she's allowed that new nature in the Holy Ghost to dig around in there and overcome those strongholds, and she's not hindered anymore from doing what God called her to do. Well, that's the message for all of us. The whole thing has flowed together this morning. This is the message that God is saying. The key is not going back to the law. The key is not trying harder with your flesh. The key is not, or not your flesh, trying harder with your mind to keep the law. There's not enough mind power to do it. But you do have enough spirit power to do it. And you've not only got spirit power given to you personally, you've also got a helper. His name is the Holy Ghost. And he will help you. And when you pray and get uglier, praise God. He's bringing that to the surface so that you can deal with it. When you fast and get prideful and arrogant, be teachable. I hope you have friends that will help you gently recognize it and then deal with it. Yes, sir. Okay, go back to Galatians. That was the verse I wanted you to see. So we have a new nature, the little S, and we have the big S. We have the Holy Spirit who also helps us. He makes intercession for us according to the plan of God. I want to get back to this war here. Yes, sir. In the early days of this, when Sue and I began hearing Pastor Dave teach about praying in other tongues, I think I like Alan's method of demonstrating this, so I'm just going to, when I can't improve on something, I just steal his, you know, I mean, that's okay, right? Eventually, I'll quit giving him credit for it, too. It's mine now. Hey, that may have been your steak when you served it to me, but after I've eaten it, and it's become bone of my bone, that's my steak now. Anyway, Alan said, and I didn't realize it so much, but I pretty much believed it this way too. Alan says, I thought all I had to do was come pray in tongues. And any faults that I had, the tongues would just kind of slap it out of me. I'm praying in tongues. That's all I had to do. Just. And the tongues itself, all these strongholds would just fall off. He said, you know what I found out? It doesn't work exactly that way. No, the tongues will reveal what's wrong. And that intercession by the Holy Ghost builds you up on your most holy faith. Remember Jude verse 20? It builds you up on your most holy faith, but eventually you and the flesh are going to have a showdown. You and the flesh, it's going to be gun smoke, high noon. You and the flesh, here we go, see. Well, that's this war here in Galatians chapter 5. Now look at verse 18. Boy, if that's not the exact parallel to Romans 8:13 that we looked at a while ago. If you be led of the Spirit, and again, that's a little S right there. If you be led of the Spirit, if you learn how to be led by the new nature, if you learn how to walk in the Spirit, walk by the new nature, you're not under the law. But understand that in that walk there is a warfare. And that's what he's telling here now. He starts describing the flesh, the works of the flesh, and comparing that with the work of the new nature. He says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which the best definition I've seen of that just means no restraint. Just no restraint. Yeah. Idolatry. I don't bow down to any idols. In our generation, the biggest idols are TV, sports, anything that your heart treasures more than God. That's an idol. I'm not against TV. I watch some TV. I have to be careful not to watch too much of it, be honest with you. Again, Doug was talking about a friend of his that kind of idolized golf. He wouldn't have called it an idol, but it was anyway. See, there was a time in our Christian life when we, right after we first got saved, where I really worshiped music. And in my day, I've got to remember, I'm a product of the 60s, you know. I like rock and roll music, you know. You can keep your Mozart. You can keep, what is that? Staying Alive stuff. Disco. You can keep all that disco. Give me that old time rock and roll, okay? And there was a season where the Lord took it away from me. I mean, I had to take all my albums, even our stereo, got it. Oh, yeah, somebody's over there playing, you know, I'm getting the violin. Poor little Gary, you know. Y'all know this. I'll go ahead and take most of you know this. I got rid of all of them except there was this one album that I just loved, and it was Bad Company. The original with the black album with the white letters, Bad Company. I hid it, and I thought the Lord wouldn't see. You know? I never played it anymore because I gave away the stereo that I played it on. But I forgot all about it till we moved. And we're moving from one house to another, and I found it again. Oh, God, I forgot all about that. Then I got rid of it. And for almost 20 years, we didn't have really any music in the house. Almost 20 years. And then finally, just like the Lord said to Doug's friend, he had to give up golf for a while. And then after it wasn't an idol anymore, the Lord says, okay, you can play some again now. Well, the Lord said the same to me, and I can play some of it now. But it's not an idol. See, you can't let idols run your life. You can't give your life to something other than Jesus. Amen? That's what it boils down to. But anyway, idolatries. The word witchcraft here, I wish they'd have used some other... For the life of me, for the longest time, I could not figure out why witchcraft would be listed here. Because when I think of the word witchcraft, I think of, long noises and pointy chins and pointy hats and a boiling pot with bubble, bubble, toil and trouble, eye of newt and whatever, you know. But finally one day I wised up and I looked it up in the Greek. And it's not talking about that kind of witchcraft at all. The Greek word there is pharmakia. It's where we get our word pharmacy from. This is talking about drug addiction. And that is the flesh. The flesh wants to escape. The flesh wants a high. Did you know one of the main reasons? I read an article not long ago that one of the reasons that people get hooked on pornography is the chemicals they're finding that are released in the brain that produces highs that they like. And so you get that high, you want to get it again, and then you want to get it again. Well, it's the same with any kind of pharmakia, anything that would create those highs, you know? But that's really what it's talking about. Pharmakia, it's talking about anything that you lean on for relief. And you know, you're listening to a guy who smoked for eternity in 3 days. I understand pharmakia. Nicotine was my drug of choice for many, many years. It was my little escape, my little, leave me alone, let me go smoke, I'll be okay. Well, thank God he delivered me from that one too. And he will deliver you. Amen. He's listing the warfare. Your flesh likes those highs. Anything that produces escape, comfort, excitement. My flesh to this day does not get excited about spending an hour praying in other tongues. The other day, I promise you this really happened. I'm not making this up. The other day, now how many of you know that for Gary, yard work is my idea of having nothing to do? It happened again the other day. I'd make it up my mind. Sue knows right now I've got a certain amount of time that I'm trying to get up early and get in prayer before we get busy every day, you know. And so I'm up and I'm doing that. And it's barely dawn. And I've been praying probably not an hour, maybe an hour, just praying. And my hedges needed trimming. I almost left prayer to go trim my hedges. And even I know that's not me. My flesh hates praying in tongues. It would rather go trim the hedge. Crazy stinking flesh. I know that's not Gary. Gary has no desire to go trim the hedges. I just do it because it has to be done. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath. Boy, that's beyond anger, isn't it? Wrath. Strife, seditions, heresies. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. That's a party spirit, you know, party, party, party. And such like. That's not an exhaustive list. I think gluttony fits in there. And I'm saying that because of me. I've battled something I've battled my whole life. But he says, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And I would like to put a parenthesis there and say, no matter what the radical great preachers teach. In parentheses. And that doesn't mean you never. When it says those that do such things, it means habitually. That's you. I don't know anybody that doesn't slip once in a while. I don't know anybody that doesn't have to repent almost on a daily basis. But he's talking about habitual. And you're not going to do anything about it. And it's just that's just the way it is. That's what Dave warned us about. Back in my smoking days, which lasted a long time, every now and then Dave would do another one of those messages. And he'd start off by saying, now a little 3-inch cigarette's not going to send you to hell, but it'll just make you smell like you've already been there. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, yeah, I smell like it. I know I do. Sue would do her best not for me not to smell like it. You know, we'd go off and have a smoke break, be coming back, and she'd have the Febreze out. Pachoo, pachoo, pachoo. You know, it's my ears starting to run with Febreze. And I'm going, baby, that's enough. They can, you know, they can smell it anyway. I don't care. Pachoo, pachoo, pachoo. Man, she's spraying me with that Febreze. And I feel like a sheep-eating dog. You know, Dave would talk about that. And I'm not... You know, and then he would save my life, either in that service or the very next service. He'd say, better is a creep that prays than a creep that doesn't pray. And I would thank God he would say that. And he'd say, God will walk through hell with you and your stronghold just so long as you don't start doing this. Start saying it's okay, or saying sin is not sin when it is. And just give up and like you're not going to fight anymore. Don't do that. But he says, as long as you are doing those things that will one day spell out your freedom, God will walk through hell with you. And he did. And eventually it came to the place, glory to God, walk free from that one. Walking freer from gluttony now. What else is next? I'm not asking you about your stuff. Sometimes we don't even know what's next. Did you know that? When it says we don't know what to pray for as we ought, you don't know what's wrong with you. Okay. Now look at verse 22. Did you know? See, it's so easy for most of us to find something there in that list that we can hang our hat on and say, yep, that's me. Yep. I'm just the old TV watcher. I'm just the old smoker. I'm just the old gossiper. I'm just the old whatever. Yep, yep, yep. That's who I am, Gary. No, that's not who you am. That's not who you are. Verse 22 is who you really are. This is the fruit of the Spirit, little s. Now, yes, your nature is the same as God's now. So you can put a capital S there and it's fine. But this is really who you are. Did you know that God is love? God is a spirit. You are his child. You are a spirit. So at your core, you are, what's the first word? Love. I didn't act like it today. You are anyway. That's the real you. The flesh is warring against that. The flesh wants you to hate and be envious and be full of wrath and seditions and all kinds of stuff. It's trying to smother who you really are. But the real you, you are a chip off the old block. You are your father's child. He is love. I don't care how you acted today, so are you. That's who you really are, love. And what's the next one? Joy. Yeah, that's the kind of phone call Sue and I get all the time. Christian people call us up and said, we're just so full of love and joy today. We're overflowing and we just had to call and share our love and joy with you. No, that's not normally the way it is. It's usually I'm hopeless and I have no peace and I'm angry and I'm upset and I'm fearful and I'm everything but this. Well, the enemy's had a good, he's been having a good warfare against you. He's got you identifying more with the flesh than identifying with who he really says you are. The truth of the matter is you are love. Your nature is joy. Turn to somebody and say that. That's so important. Say, my nature is joy. That's my first response. That's my normal attitude. Hallelujah. It is. Love. Joy. I love the next one. Peace. Everyone go. Peace. I am so peaceful. Say it this way. I have no fear. Perfect love casts out fear. I am secure and safe. 1,000 may fall at my side. 10,000 at my right hand. But it will not come nigh me. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I have peace with my Father. I cast the whole of my care upon Him because He cares for me. Worry is a stranger in my house. Are you liking yourself a little better? That's who you really are. That's who you really are. Love, joy, peace, long suffering. Now, y'all know I did an intensive study in the Greek, right? I did. I went to the classical Greek, the Koine Greek, historical Greek, the Greek of the Greek, definition by Greek scholars about Greek words. And after my exhaustive research, I found out that long suffering means to suffer long. Be you tender hearted towards one another, forgiving one another, even as Christ has forgiven you. Pray one for another, love one another, long suffering. Aren't you glad he has suffered long with you? Aren't you glad He's still long-suffering with you. Hallelujah. Gentleness. You know, God is gentleness. That nature is gentleness. But you know, sometimes gentleness will make a scourge and drive the money changers out of the temple. Gentleness is not, as I look at Jesus, gentleness is not a doormat. Now, there's times, it depends on who you're dealing with. See, there's times he says, well, if they slap you on the one cheek, turn the other. But there's other times when you make a scourge, and you, in the truth and righteousness of God, you've got to stand up and say what's got to be said, and I don't care if they stone you to death. But his nature is gentleness. If allowed, gentleness is your nature. Goodness. I think that's easy to understand. God is good all the time. Remember that guy, that rich young ruler that came and said, good master, what must I do? And he says, why call you me good? There's only one good, and that's God. But I got to tell you now, God has become your father, and his goodness is in you. You can demonstrate his goodness to others now. God is good all the time. Boy, I like that. Faith, and really the word there is more, it's not just raw faith, it's faithfulness. Faithfulness. God is not only a faith God, he is faithful. He's always there for you. And you need to start having that reputation about yourself. When you give your word on something, that is the end of the matter. It will happen or else. You know, faithfulness. Goodness, faithfulness, meekness. Meekness just means teachable. I've been here 20 years, 21 years. I couldn't even begin to tell you. It would take me forever, the things that I have learned. And for everything I've learned, I've had to unlearn. Let's say it a different way. For everything I've learned, I've had to lay down something I thought I knew. Well, meekness is very much a position and attitude of teachable, being teachable. I need God to show me where I'm wrong. That's part of also what praying in other tongues, this anointing that abides on the inside of you. It's not only the new nature, you also have the teacher in there. This unction from the Holy One, the Holy Ghost. And he's the one that's been sent to lead and guide us into all truth. Dave said to me one time, this is quite a few years ago, he says, Gary, I can't imitate Dave's voice very good. Gary, don't stop praying the mysteries. We have a lot of things yet that we don't understand. If that wasn't the case, we'd already be in revival. Because God's not holding it back from us. Boy, is that good or what? Well, the fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruits of the Spirit is meekness. Teachable. Don't become so rigid that you can't be taught by the Holy Ghost. Temperance. Self-restraint is normally the common way that's... Self-restraint is kind of a bad word, though. It's not... I guess it is self-restraint when you realize that the new nature is your real self. It's not mind restraint. It's not energy of man restraint. Self-restraint in the sense of your new man has taken the position that God really intended for him to have the whole time. Your new man has grown up through this fellowship. That anointing increases, and then God releases it to destroy the works of the flesh, and we walk in the Spirit. So let's finish this one up. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So that means it's not easy. It's not a matter of me praying in tongues and the tongues slapping all that stuff out of my flesh. No, there's things for you to do. And, you know, he'll give you those assignments along the way. Remember the time he had me give my pickup to my worst enemy? You think that wasn't slapping stuff out of my flesh? What he's having me do right now on my weight, my flesh does not like God's plan at all. My flesh hates God's plan. Doesn't like this. My flesh wants to eat everything that it wants when it wants it. It doesn't care how big I get either. He says, you know, they got double X, triple X. You can just keep going on them shirts now, you know. They're already at the store. You just go down there and buy them. They don't care. No. It's not the tongues that are slapping the flesh off of me. It's that new man saying, no. That's enough to eat. I don't want more. I know you do. Shut up. Well, it's the same with everything. That flesh wants pornography. Flesh wants drugs of any kind. Flesh wants whatever. But verse 25 says, how many of you know you've been born again? Raise your hand or I'm going to give an altar call right now. Okay. Well, so you're saying we live in the Spirit, right? You've got a new Spirit from God. It says, well, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Fellowship with God. Let Him grow up that Spirit man on the inside to where we really do take ascendancy over the flesh. And let us walk in the Spirit. And let the world see people that are different from the world.